Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Carl here, and you're about to listen to the very first episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. We thought we'd add a little bumper before the very first episode here, just to kind of let you guys know that, as you may have known, we've been doing this podcast for a long time, and we really do think that we've grown over the years as far as our knowledge of video game music, as well as our ability to speak. And in general, we just think this show has really evolved over the years. And we just wanted to let you guys know that in case you're new to the show and might form an opinion based solely on this first episode. To be honest, this first episode, it's kind of hard for us to listen to, really. I mean, we've grown so much since this, and I think even the idea of doing a top 10 is something that, in hindsight, we probably wouldn't have done, or we definitely would have done it a little differently. But, you know, be that as it may, this is the first episode, this is where it all starts here, and I do know there are a lot of people that are kind of interested in seeing where it all began. But anyway, just wanted to let you guys know that. Hope you enjoy this first episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. Thanks a lot for listening.
Hello and welcome to the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks for joining us. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann.
This is the first episode of our Video Game Music Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, you guys. We got some good music to show you.
This podcast, we're going to be talking about what we consider the best in video game music. We're both musicians. We perform, we play in bands, we are a fan of video game music as well as all kinds of other music. Recently, we were introduced to another podcast that was the inspiration for us to start this one, and that one is called The Legacy Music Hour, which is a great podcast, and you should definitely check that out. We don't want to try to step on their toes or try to, you know, we're not trying to compete with them. We kind of feel that we can both exist peacefully because I think we kind of cover different grounds and have different styles. So with that being said, thanks again for joining us.
So for this first episode, basically what we're going to do is we're just, as an introduction to us and our own personal aesthetic as musicians, we think it's important to just go through what we think are our 10 top favorite video game soundtracks.
So that's pretty much the topic of this first episode is what we consider the top 10 video game soundtracks of all time. We realize that it's more important to just have a list of our top 10 games, and we're not actually going to rank them specifically, which one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 10.
So, yeah, and if you guys just keep in mind that these are just our own personal opinions. We're not necessarily saying these are 100% with all confidence the best video game soundtracks.
It's just what we consider the best.
Exactly. We didn't necessarily put things on there that we didn't grow up playing, so yeah. We were never PlayStation folks when we were growing up, so there's not going to be any PlayStation stuff.
And as we go, it's going to become more clear kind of our tastes and where we're coming from, but right off the bat, one thing you should probably know about us and when we talk about what we consider to be good video game music is we're both all about melody, and we're all about catchy poppy tunes that stick in your head that you can sing. We were talking the other day and we were kind of thinking about what really makes a really great video game song or soundtrack, and I think we were talking about how singable it is. Like if on command you could just say sing this track, that's a sign of a great video game song. So with that being said, we're going to get started on our topic. Before we get to the actual top 10, there's a couple of, I guess you would say, honorable mentions that we're going to just quickly mention, games that didn't quite make the top 10, but we're going to just mention them because they are obviously amazing soundtracks. First honorable mention, which barely didn't make the list, was Super Metroid.
Yeah, that's one that actually I put in my original top 10 list. But like we said before, we sort of scrapped that whole concept because it's hard to, you know, rank nostalgia in a very critical way. So,
yep.
But yeah, that is a shout out. And just because it didn't make the list, it's still one of my favorite soundtracks. And I think we both agree that soundtrack.
But one of the things about Super Metroid is it's almost more about the atmospheric quality of the music combining with the game, which is a great soundtrack. But if you talk about just on its own merits as a piece of music, it doesn't quite compete with what we're going to talk about later on.
Yeah, exactly. I'd actually say that for the entire Metroid series, there's sort of a whole, you know, the original composer, his desire was to sort of make it so you can't really tell the difference between what's supposed to be music and what's supposed to be a sound effect.
Yep.
And while the music for the original Metroid was very melodic, that's mm-hmm. that whole tradition of trying to be more ambient sort mm-hmm. of carried throughout the series.
Yeah, definitely that's something about Super Metroid. There's certain things when you listen to the music, you're like, wait, I thought that was a sound effect. And it's just, it's part of the music, and it's just really well done. So that's one. Another one that I think was on Will's list, it just didn't quite make mine, was Yoshi's Island, Mario World 2 for the Super Nintendo. That's another obviously great soundtrack written by Koji Kondo. But I think we kind of decided that just it didn't quite make the cut compared to, you know, the rest of these songs that we're going to talk about coming. Very good soundtrack, though. You should definitely check it out if you haven't heard it.
Yeah, and I think we might post links to some of these on our blog. So
yeah, definitely. For some of these honorable mentions, we won't be playing them on this podcast, but we'll definitely post some links to some of these. I mean, a lot of these are really well-known, so I'm sure everyone knows this, but just in case you don't.
And then another one that I just want to say is the original Legend of Zelda. It's obviously amazing. I don't think there's obviously a bad track in there, but there's not really a lot of
There's like four songs
there. You know, there's the Legend of Zelda theme and the intro and the overworld. Then there's the dungeon, which is great. And then the game over theme, which is also the end credits.
So it's hard to really call that a soundtrack when you're comparing that to games that have tons of tracks. So that's the reason why for this podcast, when we're talking about our top 10 soundtracks, that kind of couldn't really apply as much. But it's obviously an incredibly influential game for the music and for everything.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later when we get to some of our actual top 10 picks.
Our last honorable mention is the game Sonic the Hedgehog 3 for Sega Genesis. Amazing soundtrack. I'm sure a lot of people know about kind of the whole lore behind that game as far as the music goes. It was composed by a lot of different people, but Michael Jackson was involved in the composing of that game, and it was confirmed that he composed at least one or two tracks of the game. So in the future, we will be kind of coming back to Sonic 3 because it's one of my personal favorites, but it when I was comparing it to all these other ones, it didn't quite make the cut. All right, so that being said, I think it's time to get to our actual countdown of, not real countdown, but our talking about the top 10 video game music soundtracks.
Yeah, we're actually going to start this off with a complete classic in every sense of the word. It fits the same formulas as what we said about The Legend of Zelda, but I can't imagine having a video game podcast talking about our top 10, you know, soundtracks and not mentioning this. It goes without saying it's the original Super Mario Brothers soundtrack composed by Koji Kondo, and we're just going to play the, you know, traditional overworld theme for you. I know you've all heard it, but let's give it a listen.
So here's the overworld theme from Super Mario Brothers for the NES. Without question, the most famous video game song of all time. I feel like a lot of people would feel like kind of not even bother to mention this since it's so popular, and I guess some people might even say overplayed, overrated, but it's hard to say that about that track. It's just definitely probably the most influential video game track of all time.
Yeah, it's like not enough can be said about how amazing it is, but yet everything has already been said, so
we're gonna move on.
Yeah. We're actually gonna go to the castle theme.
So here is the track Castle from Super Mario Brothers.
So yeah, this one, it's pretty simple, but I really personally think, I think it's incredibly effective. Like, if you count how long that loop is, it's like eight seconds. Short. But, you know, it really doesn't feel like it. It doesn't get that annoying.
It feels perpetual. It keeps on going, and you don't, when you're playing the game, you don't notice that it's this short loop. It feels like it's this continuous piece of music. And the way he uses those upper really fast with just the bass line, there's not much going on, but it sounds really full. It sounds scary. It sounds ominous. Just a brilliant use of the very limited technology of the NES.
Another thing I think is interesting, if this piece has a melody, I guess it would be the bass line,
yeah.
Which is kind of unique. Like, I guess if people were going to try to sing it, they'd probably try and hum that, but I really love this one. Another one I love is the underwater theme, but again, all the music from this game is so well known. There's no point in going all that. We just sort of wanted to include that in our list.
Yeah. So the next game on our top 10 is Sonic the Hedgehog for the Sega Genesis, another incredibly famous, incredibly well-known game. I'm sure everyone knows the music for, but it needs to be on anyone's list of top 10 video games.
Definitely, definitely. We sort of wanted to, you know, Mario Brothers and then Sonic the Hedgehog.
Get these out of the way.
Rival games to just show, you know, I grew up playing both of them. Carl was definitely a Genesis kid.
More of a Sonic fan, yes.
But, yeah, this was composed by Masato Nakamura. And what's the first track we're playing, Carl?
The first track we're playing is the first track of the game. This is Green Hill Zone. There is Green Hill Zone from Sonic the Hedgehog, composed by Masato Nakamura. Just incredibly catchy, incredibly happy. One of the great things about video game music of this era is, especially for a game like Sonic the Hedgehog, there's no save feature. So you had to play the levels over and over and over again. And it's only a song like this that would be possible to not get sick of. When you think of how many times you've heard the song, it still is great. It still is enjoyable. It's just quite a feat that you could compose a song like that where you just don't get sick of it. And Masato Nakamura was the bass player of this Japanese pop group called Dreams Come True, which is kind of, I feel like one of the reasons why the Sonic music was so unique is because it was coming from more of like a pop rock background compared to a lot of the, you know, Nintendo music before that, which was a lot more kind of, I feel like, classical-inspired, ragtime, jazzy, whereas this was, it fit the cool, you know, kind of new aspect of Sonic the Hedgehog because it was coming from more of like a rock-pop background. And just, I feel like the instruments of the Sega Genesis were just better. They lend themselves better to that kind of music.
Yeah, it's very 90s, and I love this. I feel like almost as much as the original Super Mario Brothers theme, this song is very well known. It's incredibly catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much to say about it.
The next track we're going to play is called Starlight Zone. So here's Starlight Zone from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, that is Starlight Zone. Wow, I can't say enough about that one. It's so gorgeous.
Simply beautiful. You can really hear the Masato Nakamura in that track. If you listen to some, I actually have some tracks from his band, and there's a song that they pretty much use the Starlight Zone chords and a little bit of the melody.
Yeah, we should
too.
Play some of those sometime eventually. On the podcast. That would be kind of cool.
Those are really funny. They all have really goofy titles like Dream, Dream, Dream and Sweet, Sweet, Sweet and just kind of like little English words that don't really make sense. But yeah, there's Starlight Zone written by Masato Nakamura for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, the next one is, this is, you know, a big one for video game music fans and Nintendo fans, but it's The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And the first track we're going to play for you is Saria's song, or more commonly known as the Lost Woods theme, and we're going to play that for you now.
So here is Lost Woods from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, composed by Koji Kondo. Lost Woods from Ocarina of Time. Oh, just, in my opinion, one of the best video game songs of all time. Just simply, just so effective, so beautiful, so catchy. Just,
yeah,
just
great. I really like it. I think it's very interesting. Anyone who's played Link to the Past, that also has a Lost Woods theme.
Very similar.
And it's so cool because it's like both of them sort of represent the eras of Kondo's writing.
Yeah.
For NES and SNES, he was trying to write things and trying to make them sound full with the limited amount of channels he could have mm-hmm. for sound. But by the time he got to the N64, you know, he was able to have something like that where you just have a melody and those sort of chords mm-hmm. and not have to have such a moving bass line. And I think it's cool because I think they both sound really beautiful.
What's great about that song and that melody is that it has two aspects of it. One aspect is kind of mysterious and haunting, the intervals of that melody, but it goes into something that's really pretty, too. So it really captures, I mean, when you think about if it's called The Lost Woods, even if you've never played the game, like it sounds like that's a perfect representation of Lost Woods. You know, it's just, it's mysterious, but it's also really pretty. And I feel like there's a couple other Koji Kondo songs where that reminds me of. There's one we'll play later on from actually Super Mario World. There's a track that kind of reminds me of this kind of vibe he gives in Lost Woods.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, the next track we're
going to
play.
So yeah, our next track from Ocarina of Time is going to be the Serenade of Water. Now, this is a short little track in the game that you play on your ocarina. But I really think it's one of the more beautiful ones. I know in later Zelda games, they take this song and they extend it. They added like an A and B section. But, you know, we might be a little strapped for time. So this is a great one. I hope you enjoy Serenade of Water by Koji Kondo.
Very, very short, but very, very good.
Yeah, I love that one. I love the chords. I love everything about it. The melody is so beautiful. One thing that's really cool about that whole game, and we didn't mention it about The Lost Woods, but, you know, most of like the big themes in that game are all things that you can play on your ocarina, and they just use like, I think it's something like 4 or 5 notes.
They're all the same notes.
They all use the exact same notes, and it's just amazing because it's the same with Majora's Mask. He used the same ocarina and all the different songs he was able to write and be creative.
It's just so interesting that he put that limitation on himself, that he didn't need to do that, but he got so much mileage out of that. And it almost, it's brilliant because it gives all the tracks in the soundtrack a cohesive feel, and they sound like part of this world. And it's just, you know, just brilliant.
Yeah.
Koji Kondo, so, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The next track, or the next game on our top 10 is Super Mario Bros. 3 for the NES.
Oh, we're really getting into this Koji Kondo stuff, aren't we?
If you haven't told by now, we are huge Koji Kondo fans. It's pretty obvious, as anyone should be.
Yeah, if you don't like Koji, please turn off this podcast. Okay, don't turn off this podcast, but you know...
Here is the Overworld 2 track from Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, that's Overworld 2 from Super Mario Bros. 3, composed by Koji Kondo. And to me, this is just a culmination of everything I love about Kondo's early work. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, you have that really catchy, moving bass line with the melody and harmony sort of in, you know, a perfect third the whole time. And
ragtime, very much a ragtime style, which is he did for a lot of his early Mario games, which is just perfect for that era.
Also, one thing kind of nice about this game is... for the first time, they had these really neat percussion samples that they didn't have in the original Super Mario Brothers, and I think they sound
it's really
pretty good
noticeable
for NES.
In the underground theme, because it's the same underground theme they used in Mario 1, but you get to hear this drum beat because there pretty much wasn't a drum beat in the underground for the original Super Mario Brothers. So that's one of the most noticeable changes in this game.
Yeah, this song is great. I mean, I can't think of it and not think of, you know, sliding down a hill, bumping into bad guys.
Exactly. So the next track we're going to play from Super Mario Bros. 3 is, I guess you would call it the sky map?
Well, yeah, it has a dual purpose. It's for any of the bonus stages where you go up a warp pipe or in a whistle. But then it's also for the warp worlds and... I think one of the worlds where you're in the sky.
Here it is. Just another brilliantly simple track from Koji Kondo. You have a bass, a melody, and a harmony, and no, I can't imagine adding anything else to that. It's perfect. It's an incredibly short loop. You definitely don't get sick of it. I mean, those parts of the game don't last very long, but it's just perfect. It sounds very Zelda-y, actually, to me, which is kind of cool about some of that early era. Just he had kind of a style that kind of was a crossover between some of the games.
Yeah, but one thing I'd like to say about Kondo is I feel like he's an artist who's defined by his limitations.
Very much.
All the, you know, the limitations of the NES really forced him to dig down deep and find a great melody, good harmony, and a catchy bass line to make it sound fuller than it actually is. And a funny thing about this track is every time I hear it, I always think about just the bass line, because in the game, it's sort of awkward. They always put all these coins in there, and the coin sound effect cuts out both of the melody and harmony channels. So for a lot of it, you're just hearing that bass line.
Which is nothing wrong with that. It's a great bass line. But yeah, I do feel like that is one of the aspects that's missing in video game music for a long time. I feel like it has been missing, is because since he had those limitations, he had no choice but to make a great bass line, a great melody, a great harmony that works together. And nowadays, you can just, oh, we'll just get an orchestra to do this, or we'll just get, you know, these drum sounds. And you don't really need to have great music on every level like you did in the past.
Exactly. It's sort of like what we said about Ocarina of Time, how he was just using more, you know, it was just something that he would play on the piano, and it transferred directly over to the MIDI instruments. He wasn't really thinking about any limitations other than maybe just the sound.
Exactly.
But he did a great job in that game, but I mean, because there weren't as many limitations, other composers, maybe not necessarily as familiar with video games, sort of came in, and now video game music, a lot of it just sounds more like film scores, which I think is a little unfortunate, but you know,
it also, at the same time, it works for what these modern games are doing, you know? The game is not as cartoon, it's not as colorful. It wouldn't really make sense to have that kind of music anymore, unless you're, you know, doing a Mega Man 9 or, like, a throwback to an older game.
Exactly.
So, we are going to move on to the next game in our top 10. And our next game is The Secret of Monkey Island.
Ooh, Secret of Monkey Island. Now, we might have
probably
explain
the least known game in our countdown. This was a game,
as far as soundtrack goes.
This was a game. The soundtrack was composed by Michael Land. This was originally just for the PC. It actually came out for back in the DOS era.
This is a LucasArts adventure game, and
created by Ron Gilbert.
It's point and click, so it's not a console game. So maybe some of you listening to this are saying, "Oh, I've never heard of Secret of Monkey Island." I would definitely check it out. It's hilarious. It's one of my favorite games.
And it has an amazing soundtrack. The game takes place in the Caribbean, so the soundtrack is kind of a reggae kind of feel, Caribbean feel to it.
But not also all the reggae, the game is quite humorous. It doesn't take itself too seriously. So some of these themes, you might be, "Oh, that sounds a little, you know, it sounds maybe a little, I don't know, cheesy or something," but it's
a comedic game. The humor in the game is, I mean, it's one
it's
of the funniest
self-aware
games ever made. Yeah. So we're going to play, the first thing we're going to play is just the main theme from The Secret of Monkey Island. And the version of the soundtrack I currently have is from the CD re-release of it. So there is kind of more modern MIDI instruments.
It doesn't have the original sort of, I guess, crappier sounds, but I think they're more timeless and charming. But, you know, this version is still great.
You can still the same music. So here is the main theme from The Secret of Monkey Island, composed by Michael Land. Theme from The Secret of Monkey Island, composed by Michael Land. Just such a great song. And what's really unique about the soundtrack of this game is that it has a very laid-back feel to it. It's not super in-your-face. It really matches the game, but just really kind of lets the music shine and take center stage. But it's not always trying to be kind of, you know, in-your-face. And
one thing I just sort of like to point out, anyone who is familiar with the game might be saying, "Oh, you're not using the original sounds from the game." Well, that's sort of up in the air because this game was released on many different platforms, such as the Amiga and the PC, several different times. So, you know.
Check out this part. This part's great. Definitely more of a reggae feel here.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is all part of the title, the main theme. So we're going to, the next track we're going to play from the game is called LeChuck's theme. And LeChuck, if you're not familiar, is the main bad
He's
guy.
He's the main pirate villain. He's a ghost pirate and he has a ship. And this song to me, is it's very iconic.
My opinion, one of the best video game songs of all time.
Oh, it's so catchy. Let's see what you think.
This is LeChuck's theme. Demonic sounding.
Yeah, that's
super
LeChuck's theme from The Secret of Monkey Island, composed by Michael Land. And yeah, LeChuck is a pretty bad dude. And I think you could probably guess that by listening to the theme. We probably
What's great about
that
is
that.
Not only is it really catchy and perfect bad guy theme, but it also has a lot of humor to it. It's kind of goofy sounding. Just the fact that the melody has a humor to it, which is great because the game shares that same amount of humor. So I just feel like it's a great, not only does it match the game, but it's just a great piece of music that stands up really well.
Yeah.
I could hear this with a reggae band covering this. I could hear a lot of potential for the song. The next track we're going to play from Monkey Island is, I guess you would call it the love theme.
It's between Guybrush and Elaine, and Guybrush is the protagonist of the game. He wants to be a pirate, but he's sort of a dork. And this song can speak for itself. It's pretty awesome.
So here is Guybrush and Elaine. There's the Guybrush and Elaine theme. Just a great reggae groove that it turns into there, and really interesting suspension. Really, just great chords. Kind of a melancholy feel. It's towards the end of the game.
Yeah. One thing I really like about that whole reggae feel there is it is kind of melancholy, and I think it's so perfect for the game. Because in the game, you know, Guybrush is always trying to get Elaine, but there's always something that doesn't quite work out in regards to it. So, I don't know. I always just think of, like, it's a love theme, but it's like, I love you, but we can't be together.
Can't quite make it work, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that continues through the whole series, but,
Just listen to those great chords there. Just really, really unique chords there. That's enough about that. The next game on our list is from the Super Nintendo, and it was composed by David Wise, a Brit. The game was made by British Rare, and the game is called
Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's Quest.
just an amazing game. That I feel like all three of those games are just some of the best, most fun games you can play.
Oh, yeah. The soundtracks are great. And one thing, technically speaking, I feel like they are the best sounding soundtrack for the SNES. Like,
use the technology just in amazing ways. And they did come out at the
some
very
of
end.
Some of it rivals N64, I mean, I have to say.
I mean, they came out 94, 95, 96. So, I mean, when Donkey Kong 3 came out, Donkey Kong Country 3 came out, the 64 was already out. So, yeah. I mean, there's actually a track where they play a track from Mario 64 in the game. But so it was really later on in the life of the SNES. But, yeah,
everything about these games feels, like, so advanced. The graphics are some of the best on Super Nintendo. And
yeah, and David Wise is just a great composer. He did a lot of NES tracks earlier on, but yeah,
this game, some of the music is sort of more of a like pirate theme.
Definitely,
each game has like its own, you know, theme. The first one is just generic Donkey Kong. The second one is like a pirate theme, and
the third one, I guess, maybe more tropical.
Yeah, the end boss, his name changes in each game. Like in the first one, he's a king, and the second one, he's a pirate captain, and the last one, he's like a mad doctor.
So it's fitting that we're going from Monkey Island to this game, two kind of swashbuckling pirate adventures. Yeah. So the first track we're going to play from Donkey Kong Country 2 is called Jib Jig. It's one of the earlier levels. It takes place kind of on a pirate ship. It's a very vertical level.
Yeah, you're like a snake, and you're bouncing up.
Very simple, gorgeous melody. It has rain in the entire track, so part of this song, there's background rain noise in it.
But yet, I can't picture it without it.
Exactly.
So
here's Jib Jig, composed by David Wise for Donkey Kong Country 2.
Enjoy.
Jib Jig.
I really love that one. It's one of my favorites.
Beautiful.
I'd just like to remind all of you who are listening that these soundtracks, they are in no particular order. They are our own personal top 10, but just because this is later than, I don't know, Ocarina of Time, it doesn't necessarily mean that we think this is any better. It's just...
I do.
Yeah,
he doesn't agree.
Carl does, but...
This was really high on my list, but...
Yeah. I don't really feel comfortable ranking them because you can't compare them, but... Yeah, just
well,
to
that's
let
what
you
separates
know.
You and me. I can, you can't. I'm just kidding. Okay, the next track we're going to play from this game is called Lockjaw's Saga. And this is kind of more of like an intense, kind of a little bit more kind of scarier... So the levels where you're
it's
underwater.
Like a, it's like an underwater ghost level.
Very kind of different from the underwater level of Donkey Kong Country 1, which was very beautiful and
more
ambient.
Aquatic and ambient.
This one is more intense, but just really great track. This is Lockjaw's Saga. Great sound there. Great drums and water sound effects. Just really impressive for the SNES. Yeah, that's just all around great, great track. Very impressive.
Yeah, very, very effective piece. Fairly simple melody, but really interesting chords. And yeah, I love it.
I like Dave's. He has a very, very unique style. Very fitting for these games because In general, I would say he's a little bit more kind of happy-go-lucky and just a little bit kind of free-spirited as a composer than, you know, someone like, I don't know, Koji Kondo. But he's able to have these moments of very emotional, intense, really good music mixed with these really kind of happy, goofy moments, which is great for Donkey Kong Country, because there's a lot of really happy, goofy levels and things happening in the game. There's also some intense
There's some really melancholy
too.
Stuff. Yeah. To me, I think of some of like the snow levels mm-hmm. as having a very melancholy sound. This one, a lot of the music in one of the reasons we picked this game is it's so intense and mm-hmm. just it really.
And,
just
and
kicks
what's
you
great
in the
is
face.
What's great about this track is the kind of the French horn kind of has a melody which is great for an intense kind of emotional sound.
It's also cool that you can distinguish it as a French horn on an SNES.
For sure, it's coming up here. Maybe that wasn't supposed to be a French horn. I always thought it was. It's hard to exactly say what it is.
Yeah, I take back what I said. This music is awful.
Yeah, I just can't stand it. We need to stop. It's just really, really bad. Okay, so the next track we're going to play from Donkey Kong Country 2 is called... some people call it... There's a bunch of different names for it. One of the popular names for, at least if you YouTube it, is Mining Melancholy, but I feel like some part of me feels like that's not the official name.
That name was, you know, made up by an English major, obviously.
Another title that it's known by is Cannon's Claim, but whatever you call it, it is a great track, and...
A very frustrating level, too. Like, when I hear this, I just want to throw a controller.
So here is Mining Melancholy. Listen to the really kind of interesting metallic kind of drum sounds that start off this level. I love the very beginning of this track, those metallic kind of drum sounds. Yeah. They're rhythmic. They're part of the song.
But one nice really thing is, catchy. Like, because it's SNES, the note value is pretty obvious. It's not as ambiguous as they probably wanted it to mm-hmm. be, and it sort of has a ding, din, 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 din.
Yep.
Which, I don't know, I always thought that was kind of charming for
this is a really, SNES. Really gorgeous, really gorgeous piece of music. That's a cool beat right there.
Yeah. Once again, a really frustrating level. I think the game over, if you die in this game, like each level has a different game over, and the game over for this one uses those metallic instruments.
Yep. Yeah, very, very Dave Wisey feel here with kind of those synths and those pads.
Well, I think we should probably move on to the next game in our list.
Fine, I guess. So the next game on our list is a classic. I feel like anyone would probably have this in their top 10 video game soundtracks. It is Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo.
For the Super Nintendo, the launch title for what I think is the greatest video game console.
Do you really want to, I don't know, make that claim? I don't know. It's
pretty... Yeah, I think I'm going to make that claim. It has my favorite video games. And
I was just giving you a hard time. I might have to agree. Even though I grew up with the Sega and...
Yeah. Oh, how does that feel? Do you feel like, you know,
I have
you committed
to agree
treason
that,
to Sega?
No, I have to agree that the Super Nintendo is
I don't know. I feel like Sega
system.
Committed treason to itself. It makes games on, like, every system now. So.
Well, what are you going
to
do? You know, you got to work. You got to put food on the table.
Good
so,
point.
So we're going to play...
Okay, where are we going with this?
The What's... first track we're going to play from Super Mario World is Overworld 2. Once again, another great ragtime song from Koji Kondo.
I couldn't possibly love him any more than I already do, but oh gosh.
Listen to the to kind of the bass of what would be on the left hand of the piano if you're playing Zen. Very hard to play.
Yeah.
Very effective. There's a lot of videos on YouTube of piano versions of this.
Yeah. I also kind of like those African drums. This is obviously taken from
With Yoshi.
When you have Yoshi in the game. Because then...
Oh, I didn't mention that when I played this track, sorry.
Yeah. That's actually a tradition they carry out through the whole Mario series. Whenever you're on Yoshi, a new sort of percussive element gets added to the track. Yeah. I think it's really interesting having these more, like, African drum sounds with, like, a ragtime type of thing.
Yeah. So the next track we're going to play from Super Mario World is one of the kind of the map themes of early on in the game.
Yeah, it's called Donut Plains. It's the second map theme, and it's used for multiple points in the map. But like the original Super Mario Brothers castle theme, it's a very short loop, but, I mean, I couldn't listen to it enough times. It's absolutely gorgeous. So here's Donut Plains, composed by Koji Kondo. Enjoy.
Donut Plains by Koji Kondo. Just incredibly short loop, but incredibly catchy. And you don't need to hear it that many times when you're playing the game, but I would find myself just taking a break and listening to this music. Just really, really feel good.
I think the harmonies are really interesting there. Yeah, you know, some of his music, it's just like constant thirds.
And the last chord is great, too. It's kind of like a diminished chord. It's not very... You're not expecting it. The next track we're going to play from Super Mario World is the castle theme. And what's great about Mario World is, which he, from then on in all of Mario's games, he would pretty much make one theme and he would reuse it and remix it in a bunch of different levels.
Yeah,
and
I think this is the best example of that sort of theme and variation concept, because I think this is probably one of the best, you know, songs. If for the first Overworld, we didn't play that for you, but you know, it's one of the best songs to be used that many times, and you probably can't even notice it here, but...
This is Castle. Thank you. This castle from Mario World.
I think my favorite section is when it starts going into the
really fast arpeggios.
Oh my god, that's so sick.
Yeah, that is just a masterful track from the master himself, Koji Kondo. The next track we're going to play from Super Mario World is one of the another map theme. And this is the one I was talking about earlier. This kind of reminded me of Lost Woods. It's a very kind of similar feel. It's a forest.
It's a similar concept as far as the game, where it's like, you know, you're trying to find the right path to go.
But what I mean by that, why it reminded me, is that it has a haunting, mysterious quality, but also a very pretty quality to it. And it happens to be in a forest. This is Forest of Illusion. Forest of Illusion by Koji Kondo. Great track.
Yeah, now we're going to actually move on to our next soundtrack, and this is one of my favorites, definitely one of Carl's favorites. I'm not going to take all the credit there, but...
This is Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Also composed by Masato Nakamura.
This was the last game he composed, so I consider these first two Sonic games to be absolute masterpieces. Two of the best video game soundtracks of all time.
It's the last Sonic ones he composed. I'm not sure what else he
did. It was the last video games he composed ever. I don't think he composed another video game after this.
Oh, really?
Just went back to his Japanese pop.
Oh, so sad.
So this, the first track we're going to play is Aquatic Ruins. Oh. What an awesome track. Very cool that has a Latin groove. And one thing I love about the melody, just one sort of little color that there, is that little which is kind of a tribal, it just is very appropriate for this level.
Yeah, it's maybe the type of thing you'd hear in like an old Western, you know, but I don't know, here it's done.
Yeah, just a great track by a composer.
Yeah, one thing I love about the music in the Sonic games is whenever you get to a new level and setting, a lot of the settings are less just like generic snow, water, you know. A lot of them are some sort of like, they get into sort of, I don't know, like you're talking about ruins. So he does a lot of ethnic things. Another one is Oil Ocean Zone.
Yes.
It has sort
very
of...
very stereotypical.
Yeah.
But...
effective. More of an Arabian sound, but he always adds his own little flavor to it, and I don't know, he sort of grooves it up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he very much grooves it up. This is, I mean, that's, what do you expect from a bass player? This is the next track we're going to play is probably the jazziest track in the game, and this is Casino Night Zone. Casino Night Zone for Sonic 2. Great track. Not really much I need to say about that one. The next one we're going to play is my favorite from this game and probably my favorite Sonic song of all time.
Definitely mine too.
Just an incredibly groovy kind of hip-hop track. This is Mystic
Cave Zone. Take a listen to the lead instrument. The vibrato and everything, it's just crazy.
Yeah, great for like a kind of a scary ghost haunted level. This is Mystic Cave Zone.
Definitely another mystery forest, but it's definitely a fresh take on the idea compared to Koji Kondo.
Yeah, you know what? Not very Koji-ish, gotta say. Yeah, you can't beat that bass line. I mean, that's just one of the best bass lines of all time video game history. So there's Sonic 2, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be moving on to our next game, which is near and dear to Will's heart.
Yeah,
not so much mine.
I gotta say, this is absolutely my favorite video game soundtrack, but that's just my opinion.
So much for not ranking them, huh?
Well, I'm sorry, I can't help
it. I never played this game, but I have to admit it has an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, what is it? Let's stop the suspense. It's The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. And
is it A Link or just Link? Is it A Link?
It's A Link to the Past.
A Link to the Past, okay.
I think I know my Zelda, Carl.
Okay. Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
The first track that we are going to play is the Fairy Fountain theme. And in this game, it's used whenever you die and on the character select screen. But yeah, this is one of the most beautiful pieces, I think, in video game history. And Carl definitely agrees with
me. Oh, yeah. It could be the best track in video game history. Just incredibly simple, but just gorgeous. So this is what? Fairy Fountain theme?
Yeah, the Fairy Fountain theme. I really love the way the melody and counter melody, you know, sort of work together.
I was talking about this earlier with Will. This song is better than it should be. Like, on paper, it's just this chromatic melody, but something about its simplicity and its space and the way it works with the harp underneath and the bass, it's just absolutely brilliant. It's just so pretty and kind of melancholy. And
yeah.
I never really played this game, but I would always kind of start it, and I remember as a kid, the first time I heard that, I was on the select screen, and I just stayed on that screen for like 5 minutes just listening to this music. And I feel like that's a good sign of a masterful piece, right there.
So let's move on to our next track, and this is the Dark World theme. Whenever you go to the Dark World in the game, this might be one of my favorites from this game.
Me too. This is a great track. Here's Dark World.
Thank you. that is the Dark World theme in that game, and I really, one of my favorite things, I love some of the rhythms of the chords later on, like dun 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 dun. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's really cool. It kind of reminds me almost of something like Superman or something.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a great track. What are we playing next? I think we're playing
next we're
Dark
doing
Mountain
Dark
Forest?
Mountain Forest. This is the Dark World equivalent of Death Mountain.
If that means anything to you, which hopefully some of you...
It definitely will. This is Dark Mountain Forest.
I love the strings and the SNES. They're kind of goofy. Like whenever they sustain, they kind of sound kind of harsh. But at least they have strings. You know, I feel like the Sega Genesis didn't really have strings.
Yeah, they were more about.
Which is why I feel like most of the music for the SNES is more orchestral based, and the Genesis is more kind of rock, like techno based. Which they were just using what they could. The last track we're going to play from Link to the Past is Princess Zelda's Rescue.
And yeah, it's more
really
commonly
known
as Zelda's Lullaby from Ocarina of Time, but it's actually from this game.
Yeah, I feel like if this game only had two songs, the Fairy Fountain theme and this, it would still be one of the best soundtracks of all time. Because these two songs are just
for sure.
Are just amazing. Everyone knows this song, but here is Princess Zelda's Rescue. I think definitely one of Koji's best melodies.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. So that is Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our final game in our top 10 video game soundtracks of all time, according to us. Which is... Super Mario 64.
Yeah. It's not necessarily number one, even though maybe it is. But
I actually don't really like this. No, I'm just kidding. This is maybe my favorite soundtrack of all time. It's hard to decide. This is just absolutely
incredibly
amazing.
Nostalgic for me, but it's just, yeah, it's great.
It is hard to separate the nostalgia. That is definitely true.
And
but
Carl, who composed this one?
I think it was Koji Kondo, Koji Kondo again.
Oh, another one of that guy.
This was
like
an incredibly revolutionary game for so many reasons. It was the launch game of Nintendo 64. Pretty much created a new generation of platforming, and the music could not have fit better. Could not have been catchier.
Yeah.
And kind of what we talked about with Mario World, how he would compose one main theme and remix it for every track. He did that again for this game. And I feel like this theme is just every bit as good as the Mario World theme.
Definitely.
It's just,
if not better.
If not better. Just incredibly catchy, really happy. Yeah. And so we're going to play... but before we play that main theme, we're going to play the File Select theme from this game, which is just great. Here's File Select. This is I'll select from Super Mario 64, a great introduction to the system, because I feel like a lot of people, they would buy the 64, and this was the first time they'd heard music quality this good with the kind of the new generation of MIDI sounds they could get. So it was a good idea to use that pan flute, because that, you know, that sounds
well, I mean, as far
great.
As Nintendo gamers went, the PlayStation came out before, and
that's
they had
true.
CDs.
But for those, I mean, for those people, they probably didn't have a PlayStation. You know, if they're going from Mario World to this, it's, you know.
Yeah, definitely as far as Mario games and Nintendo consoles go, this game is revolutionary.
The next track we're going to play is the Bob on Battlefield, which is the first level in the game. So pretty much the main theme of the game. That slap bass there.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
One of the things that really kind of reminded me of the brilliance of this song was I was playing Mario Galaxy 2, and, you know, great music, orchestrated, just, you know, really good. But then there was a galaxy called, I think, Throwback Galaxy.
Yeah, it's Throwback Galaxy.
And they did, like, a... They have, like, real, you know, real
instrumental.
It's like
a big band. They got a big band together.
And when you hear the song in that context, it just makes you appreciate how amazing the song is.
I love those fake brassy hits right
hits,
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they tried to slide down there.
Yeah, that's great. So, yep, that's Bob on Battlefield. The next track we're going to play
this is the first variation on that theme. It's called Slider. I shed a tear.
I love how he turned it into a bluegrass song there. That's just brilliant.
I love the whistling MIDI.
And it was the first time that Koji could have, you know, done a fairly accurate representation of bluegrass. You know, he couldn't have, you know, because that sounds pretty much like a banjo, pretty much like
mind.
A harmonica.
He's probably just like, oh, I really need to do some bluegrass stuff.
Yeah. Couldn't have really done that in the SNES as much.
I'd like to hear what that attempt would have sounded like.
I'm okay with not hearing.
Okay, where are we going with this?
The next track is, I know I said it earlier, but it might be my favorite video game track of all time.
Yeah.
I should just say that for every track we play today. But this is called Dire Dire Docks. The first time you hear it is a level called Jolly Roger Bay. It's the water theme of the game. And this was great because it isn't based on that main theme. It is its own theme. And it's just incredibly atmospheric. It has a nice, lush reverb to it, which, again, for a lot of people at the time, probably would have sounded really kind of, I don't know, just something they've never quite heard before.
It has, like, a nice electric piano.
Yeah.
And
so this is Dire Dire Docks for Super Mario 64. Thank you. Dire Dire Docks from Mario 64. Gosh. Just, you can't get better than that track. You seriously can't. It just is so relaxing, so calming.
If you listen here, some more strings are fading in.
Yeah, this is would be like pretty much once you go under the water.
Yeah, one interesting thing about this level is different places where you go, different things start up.
Different so layers are added.
The deeper you get into the water, you know,
the strings add, and then if you go more to the kind of the
this cave, you can find a secret cave.
The drums come in.
Drum beat kind of comes
which
in.
Which is great. Yeah, just you can't say enough about this track, but you also can't say, you know, that much about it because it's just not much to say. It's just a great track. So, with that, that ends our theme of today.
Yeah, I mean, top 10. Those are all the tracks that we listen to. It's almost overwhelming how much great stuff there is there, and I know some of you might be disappointed. Oh, where's this? Where's that? You know, I wanted to put in, like, Castlevania and some more NES things, but some of that stuff just didn't quite cut it. And a lot of this is nostalgia mm-hmm. for us. Mm-hmm. One of the big reasons we did this first episode with this theme was not necessarily to just come out, you know, mm-hmm. all guns blazing and say, these yeah. are the best songs, but just so you can sort of, you know, appreciate our own musical tastes.
Where we're coming from, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, thanks a lot for listening, you guys. We really appreciate it. Next week, what's our theme
going to
be?
Our theme next week is going to be composers.
Yeah, we're going to pick, and it's up in the air. Maybe we'll do a top 10, maybe we won't, but we're going to do our favorite video
game composers.
I think
we're going to do the top, you know, the top worst composers of all time. We're going to do the absolute worst.
Koji Kondo will definitely not be on there.
No, we're going to do some of our favorite composers next week.
Yeah,
we want to thank you again for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
What is this podcast called again, Will?
Oh, this is called the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast, and we're going to play you out with the end credits theme from Super Mario 64. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good week.